Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
Here we are, just a few hours removed from this evening's 2021 WNBA draft. It was a very interesting draft, to say the least. I'm not going to do too much of an intro here, but just know that we break down tonight's draft. Debbie gives her thoughts on who she thought won the draft, what players went certain places that'll be a big help, and she even gives a prediction on who she could see winning it all in WNBA this year. So stay tuned for that, and of course, stay tuned for me. I get to have a big part in this episode, as Debbie allowed me to ask some questions and also get my thoughts on a couple of things. So, hey, when producer B-Mac gets a little speaking role, it's always a good time. But as always, thank you all for continuing to listen, and here's Debbie.
You know, we've covered the college landscape, and now it's time to dive into the WNBA draft. And I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else but my producer, Brian McKay. He's the man. B-Mac is the guy. He's got all the juice. And he is a great fan of our game. And so I'm sitting here talking about my draft board, and he's talking about all these different things in the history of the WNBA. So I'm like, come on, man, let's just break it down and turn the recording on and let's go. What do you say, B-Mac?
Let's be clear. I appreciate your comments, but you're only saying this because you've been talking to everybody else all day long about the draft. So, but I got you last, and whoever gets you last is the best. So
honestly, I was on the golf course yesterday and today.
And, oh, yes, I saw you almost got ate up by an alligator.
No, I came around the corner and the gator was right there on the bank, and I slowed down so I could get my camera ready because I am fascinated by them and scared to death of them.
Yes.
So if any ball goes near the water, I'm not really interested in going to get it. But I had a little workout in, and then I did some CBS HQ tonight covering the draft. And so here we are. I mean, we're sitting here post-draft. Great job by ESPN.
Yes.
Terrific show. What's your take, B-Mac? What you got?
Well, first of all, I just want to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
All right.
Who, in one of the most controversial drafts, I think, in the history of the league, who do you think won the draft? What team would you say won it?
Well, I think it's easy to say Dallas because they had the most picks in the first round, right? I mean, they have the most chance to impact their team through the draft because they had the most picks. Even getting Dana Evans at number 13, the first pick of the second round. I got to say, I was starting to feel like Dana was looking like Brady Quinn, you know, back from when Brady came out of Notre Dame and was projected to be a high pick, and then he sat there in the green room for the longest time. And I just remember how sick I started to feel for the poor guy. You know, now he's doing great. He's fine. He's an analyst for Fox. But I started to feel that way about Dana. And when she popped up and she was crying, I know where Dana's motivation comes from. I know where Dana came from in Gary, Indiana. I've studied Dana and watched her for a long time. We had Dana on our podcast.
Yes, yes, we
did. And I actually thought that gave Dana a chance, for people to hear her voice and listen to her, you know, articulate why she loved the game so much. So I was a little surprised that she fell to the second round. But Dallas, you know, Charlie Collier, she's got the body, right? I mean, she's WNBA ready physically. She's going to have to get tougher around the rim and finishing, but she's going to be surrounded by so many shooters that she won't get double teamed, and she probably won't play in a crowd. So she's going to have to be able to score around the rim a little bit better. We know she has 3-point range. I think Vicky Johnson's a first year head coach. Should be really interesting to see what they do, but Arike's got to love it because it gives her a little more balance inside out. And, you know, she can throw it in there and play off of Charlie. And I'll be interested to see if Awat Currier, I think is her name. She's the 6'5 forward from the Italian league. I'd be surprised to see if she comes over because I think she's 19. She might stay over there. I don't know. We'll see.
That's going to be interesting.
Chelsea Dungy too, B-Mac.
Yes. You know,
she can get a bucket now.
Can put it in the bucket, Arkansas. What are your thoughts on what I think is probably going to be the scariest backcourt going into next year in Atlanta?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Actually, on CBS HQ, that was one of the ones they asked me, like, you know, I thought Dallas had the best draft. And then, you know, Aries' stock went up in the in the NCAA tournament. We all know that. I mean, everyone was going underneath all that ball screening action with her. And even Stanford still went under that ball screen in certain spots on the floor. Just because she was never a consistent three-point shooter over the history of her career at Arizona. But, man. I say there's fast, and then there's Aerie McDonald fast. I mean, she's got twitch, you know? I mean, she's so quick. And if she can continue to improve her three-point range, playing with Courtney Williams and Kennedy Carter, I mean, it's going to be really fun to watch them go because they are all good off the bounce. They all got some swag about them. And Aerie's going to... I mean, Nikki Collin knows what she's doing. So she went small. She went with quick. She likes to play fast. If they can rebound, which Elizabeth Williams usually does that for them, cleans the glass, and Monique Billings did a good job last year rebounding for them, I think they'll be fun. I would expect both those teams to have a legitimate chance, as good as the league is, to get into the playoffs this year. I really think, and I like Atlanta's chances ahead of Dallas, honestly.
Let's transition to the defending champions, Seattle Storm. They lose Natasha Howard to free agency to New York. And then here they go in the draft, in a very deep draft. They pick up in the second round Kiana Williams from Stanford and India Jones from Texas A&M. Mm-hmm.
Perfect backup point guard to learn from Sue Bird with Kiana Williams. And, I just lost her name from UCLA. The point guard from UCLA that plays Jordan Canada.
Jordan Canada.
Yeah. And Jewel Lloyd. I mean, I think Natasha Howard is such a good she runs the floor. She rebounds. She's such a good rim, pick and roll. She's a hard roller to the rim that takes up some space. I like her being in New York, but I definitely think it opens up the floor a little bit for Stewie. I mean, they don't need much out there. And losing Seattle, losing Natasha Howard and Alicia Clark, India Jones can go in there and be that kind of player that doesn't need to have the ball in her hands to add value. Kind of like what Ruthie Hebert did in Chicago this past year when she got some minutes. Crystal Langhorne is what India Jones kind of reminds me of. You know, Crystal Langhorne played a long time in Seattle. She just recently retired. She was a hard roller to the rim. She was a great rebounder. She didn't have to have the ball. I can see India Jones maybe sticking out there on a roster. You know, BMAC, it's hard to make a roster. Since 2014, so in the last 7 years of the draft, the average number of drafted players that stick are 21. Wow. So that means that, like, I don't know if there's 21 players that in this draft that will be able to play. We'll see.
And I think they picked Aaliyah Wilson in the first round, at Storm, that is, and then they traded her to Indiana for Kennedy Burke, who I think was Jordan Canada's college teammate.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kennedy Burke has kind of been sticking on a roster like that 11th or 12th player.
Yeah.
And she's a tremendous character. It takes a lot of character to sit on the bench as the 11th or 12th player. But we'll see if she can hang on to a roster spot in Seattle because she's got some experience. But Seattle, you know, Dan Hughes, he might need to get some young ones in there so he can start thinking about the future, you know, when Sue Bird retires.
True. We've talked about a couple of podcast alums and Dana Evans and Ari McDonald. Let's talk about, as I was just about to say her name, my mind went blank. Minnesota Lynx.
Oh, yeah. Renia Davis.
Yes.
Number 9 in the pick draft. You know, I don't know if she's as big a surprise to me to go in the first round. I mean, Minnesota, I think, is really talented. I think Cheryl Reeve is a Hall of Fame coach.
Cheryl Reeve, that was the alum I was struggling.
Yeah, Cheryl Reeve. She did a great job on our podcast breaking it down, right?
Yes,
we had a good time with her.
That was fun.
She's fantastic. Yeah, she's always great. I really enjoy talking to her. She has, you know, Nafisa Collier, and even to this day, Michelle Vopel once in a while give me some props saying, you were right, Nafisa Collier should have gone number one in that draft. I'm like, yeah, she was the number one pick.
Yep.
She should have been the number one pick. She ended up being MVP. She's terrific. And I think she was number 6 in that draft. They're, you know, if Sylvia Fowles is healthy, they're very talented. Crystal Dangerfield was terrific last year. I think Minnesota has a real chance to be really good. I don't know if they can win the league, but I like their chances. They'll certainly be in the playoffs. And if you can be in the playoffs, that's what all that really matters is you get a chance. But I love their offseason moves because Kayla McBride is a real legitimate scorer. And, you know, she didn't get a lot of touches in Las Vegas. And Renia Davis is long and athletic, and I think she'll be a really good teammate, and I think she'll learn how to play her role. But they're pretty deep, you know. Dontis, Bridget Carlton, Lexi Brown, Rachel Banham. That's a pretty good roster. And adding Kiana Williams, Destiny Slocum, right? Did they get Destiny Slocum?
No, she went to the Aces.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Aces. Okay. Yeah, I got my big draft board up here. I'm going to tweet my draft board out after we're done so people can see what I was looking at while we're doing our podcast. And I try to keep a big draft board going myself. I think they're going to be really good. I just think Kayla McBride can make a big difference for that team because she's a shooter. She can be a spot-up shooter, but she can also put it on the floor.
Okay. Chicago went with Shyla Hill, the Australian point guard, who would be a nice backup for Courtney Vandersloot. And they're
really
already – I'm sorry.
I think a little interesting pick there, though. I mean, to me
– who was still on the board, yes. Definitely.
Yes, because Ari McDonald went as the first point guard, and then Shyla Hill went as the second point guard in the draft. And, you know, that left Destiny Slocum and Kiana Williams still on the board. I was a little bit surprised. And Dana Evans.
And Dana Evans.
I thought for sure Dana Evans would go. I thought Dana was going to actually go to Atlanta. And then I thought, well, if they took Ari, then I thought she would go to Chicago.
Right.
That's kind of how I saw that happening. But I got both of those wrong. So, and then, you know, you say controversial about the draft, BMAC. I would say unpredictable and probably the strangest draft we've had in the first round because there were a lot of surprises. Like Indiana taking Kaiser Gondrzek. I mean, I have no idea where the evaluation of her came into being the number 4 pick in the draft. I'm really interested in what Marianne Stanley was thinking there because you already got Tiffany Mitchell and Kelsey Mitchell. You got
right.
Victoria Vivians. You got Big T inside with Lauren Cox. I thought they might go with a point guard also. Because
right,
Kelsey
I actually
Mitchell
thought,
can get off the point.
I actually had when Atlanta went with Ari, I actually thought Dana would go Indiana right there.
Yeah, and Julie Alamon was a surprise last year, right, on the WNBA rookie team.
Yes.
She did a very nice job running the point. But Shyla Hill, that's a little bit surprising. But, you know, I have great respect for Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley. And getting Candace Parker gives them a legitimate chance to win the championship when you've got Diamond DeShields and Kalia Copper on the wings. I hope Shyla Hill can help them because, They could have gone a lot of directions there with that pick.
Well, their second round pick, they picked up Natasha Mack, who we didn't have on the podcast, but we had in your Dinelli scouting report as one of our highlighted players this year.
She's good. She's the defensive player of the year, the Naismith Trophy defensive yes. player of the year. 4.5 blocks a game, and she's got an incredible story that she was at a chicken processing factory and then decided to go to junior college, and then she went to Oklahoma State. So really good pick. See, that's a really good get for them in the second round because that's something they need, a long, athletic. She'll be very good in their pick-and-roll defense, and she can rebound, and she'll be a put-back, drop-off, and rim runner, you know, for them. She doesn't have to have the ball to get 10 points and 8 rebounds a game if she gets that much time. So I like that pick at number 16, but I was surprised with Shyla Heal. And I'm sure James Wade did his homework on the point guards.
Going out to the West Coast, L.A. got probably the steal of the second round in Grantes from Rutgers.
She really dropped.
Yes, she did.
I thought she'd be higher. Stephanie Watts from North Carolina is probably as big a surprise as Indiana's pick in Gondrzik.
Yes.
I didn't have Stephanie Watts even on my board for the first or the second round. That's no disrespect to her game. It's just that in my evaluation, I thought Garantes really moved way up as in this year. You know, I always say Vivian Stringer's been coaching for 50 years, and she's only had 6 players that have averaged 20 points. That's as much a compliment to Coach Stringer and her system with all her success as it is to what Garantes was able to do in a little bit more up-tempo style for Coach Stringer. So, I mean, you know, she could get a bucket now. I mean, Coach Stringer's had some great players. You know, when you start talking about Cappy and Epiphany, and you go
Essence Carson, Kia Vaughn. I mean, just all kind of different.
Kia Vaughn is one of her better players that has improved the most in the, you know, in the WNBA. Look, Kalia Copper, we already talked about her. I mean, Rutgers. Yep.
Erica Wheeler.
Just Benaja Laney. Hmm. There's a lot of Rutgers sprinkled all over the W. So, but this is where I get, you know, we start talking and we have the recording going. If we didn't have the recording going, this is exactly the way we'd be talking. We're bouncing around from one thing to another. But it's going to be hard to make a roster. You know, there's a lot of reports I've seen where they estimate maybe 9 or 10 spots legitimately might be open. I don't know who and who hasn't been invited on a training camp roster to come in and try to make the team. It's highly competitive. I mean, and I know Kathy Engelbert, who's doing a great job as our commissioner, has a lot of great ideas and initiatives for the 25th season. And I'm excited to be a part of some of those that I'm not ready to announce yet, but that's forthcoming, I hope, soon. Because I've been in the league all 25 years, BMAC, you know, and I did the ABL. I was the national analyst for the ABL on Fox before the W was even created. So I've been have been very fortunate to have covered professional women's basketball in our country all this time, 26, 27 years. You know, it doesn't get any less passionate for me or any more challenging to try to do the best job you can to, you know, bring forth the great stories of these players and how good the product is. That's the thing that I'm so impressed with. I think the product is so good. The players are so good. And I think Coach Kathy Engelbert eventually will probably have to expand, you know, in a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4. And we say that, and a lot of people talk about this being a weak draft. I mean, if you can make a roster, it's not a weak draft.
Right.
If these players make rosters, and most of them in the first round, you know, they should. It's not going to be easy. And there's some second round players that are going to make a team.
Yeah, there's some deep into the second round that, I mean, were projected first round. I mean,
there's a lot of second rounds that were projected in the first round. But I like, you know, it's interesting to me that, you know, here's a couple of things that stood out to me. Like, Bill Lambert in Las Vegas. They go with Ileana Rupert.
Yes.
From France. He doesn't value the three-point shot at all. He doesn't. It doesn't matter to him. He did get Destiny Slocum, who I think is a great pick. Yes. I think she can make the team. Because I think she...
Playmaker.
Chelsea Gray.
Playmaker. She's going to get the ball to the right person.
Exactly. And they have so much size. You know, that's the thing that I worry about Asia Wilson not having space. You know, and Liz Cambage, we'll see if she's shooting the three as well as she can. We know she can stretch the defense. And we'll see. Maybe Asia's been working on her three. But I don't know. It just seemed to me like when he picked another post player, I was like, he really doesn't value shooting the three. And he almost won a championship without one. So.
Yeah. Pepper Pursley actually had on Instagram Live just right before we came on the Aces scout. I can't think of his name at this point, but she had him on her Instagram Live, and he talked about that particular pick being a project for them, someone that they're going to groom into being what they want to be. I think to myself, what are you going to do, take her three-pointer away? Because, hey.
It opens up a chance for somebody that, you know, like Kelsey Plum, shoot the three. You know, they do have her coming back along with Cambage, and I think she's as big an impact coming back as Cambage is. A lot of people haven't mentioned that, but I'm thinking Kelsey has a legitimate chance to make a difference. And that's probably why he was able to let Kayla McBride go.
Yeah, Kelsey got hurt so early in the bubble. I think people forgot that she's even, you know, a part of their roster.
Yeah, they may have. I mean, and De'Erica Hamby, you know, continues to do her job well. Three-point shooting, just not a factor for them. Maybe he thinks Kelsey Plum can handle it. But if you remember, 2 years ago, it became a very predictable offense for Bill Lambert, I thought, because he was running Plum at the point and Cambage at the five, and it was just a two-man game in the middle third with Kayla McBride in one corner and another person in another corner, and they just opened up the floor, and it just became.
Yeah. So just to wrap up, top thoughts on the draft, what are your final thoughts on?
I mean, 12 teams and 8 are going to make the playoffs, so you more are looking at, like, who probably won't, and it is a challenge to try to figure out who won't. But part of the reason why Dallas had so many picks in the first round is because they needed them, you know, and New York, who did some good work in the offseason to move some pieces around, you know, are they going to be a playoff team? I mean, that's going to be really interesting to see. Atlanta, I think of the teams that did not make the playoffs last year, I look at Atlanta as a team that I think will have the best chance to make it this year. So when you go Dallas, Atlanta, Indy, and New York, I think those are the four. Pretty sure they did not make the playoffs. I like Atlanta's chances. And it's not just because Ari. I think Ari's one piece of it. But I love watching Courtney Williams and Kennedy Carter. They could be the most entertaining backcourt in the league. And so to me, you know, it's a guards game. It's about guards. Guards have the ball in their hands. Guards make plays. I think that's going to be the team that I think of the four that didn't make the playoffs. It's going to have the best chance. So it'd be interesting. Connecticut's the one that I probably, you know, without Alyssa Thomas, but I don't worry about Kurt Miller because he figures it out and he puts pieces together. And Jonquel Jones coming back to the league, that makes me excited. Elena Deladon coming back this year, that gets me fired up to watch. So it should be an entertaining season. And with the 25th anniversary, there's a lot of special things to keep your eye on.
Yes, this is the most excited. I mean, I get excited every summer, but this is the most excited I've been about a season in a long time.
The coaching is good. The product is good. The publicity is great. The media coverage is getting better. The players' activism and education have taught us all. They continue to lead from the front. We've got, you know, some players, you know, that could retire. This could be their last chance for us to watch them. So we should just soak it all in. You know, soak in the fact that I don't know if Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi might retire, but man, if this is their last year in the 25th year of the league and we get to watch them and watch them take our Olympic team, you know, over to Tokyo, that and that's their last go. I mean, what a ride, right? I mean, we should enjoy it because they're fantastic and they're great ambassadors for the game. And I think the biggest offseason move, obviously, is Candace Parker. Very excited about that. I think she legitimately gives Chicago a chance to win. They could win the title. And if I had to pick a team right now, like right now on draft night, like who do I think is going to win the WNBA championship? I'm going with Chicago.
Okay.
I'm going with Candace Parker. Who are you going with?
It's hard to pick against the Sky, but since you went the Sky, I'm going to say they're going to be playing my pick and for a repeat, the Seattle Storm. Mm-hmm. I just think when you have Keanu Williams and India Jones to what they already have, I mean, Keanu Williams, like you said right here on this podcast before, is one of those players that is like a chameleon, can fit in any place you needed to fit. And she's going to be great right there because they already have so many established stars. They have 4 or 5 legitimate starting lineups in their roster.
You got to have a scoring point guard in this league. You can't, you know, the days like Tisha Panichero was a pass first. She comes to mind like a Teresa Weatherspoon pass first.
Yeah.
Now, because of the space and the way the game is played, the positionless basketball, you have to have scoring point guards. And nobody made more threes in the history of Stanford's program than Keanu Williams. So, you know, once she gets comfortable, doesn't play nervous, which is what I thought she did the entire Final Four. Maybe being in San Antonio was, you know, overwhelming for her, I don't know. But once she gets past that, she'll be a player that could definitely help them. And it's going to be really – there's a lot of good players in the second round. It's going to be really fun to see how it all shakes out.
Yeah.
But you know what, BMAC, if we had enough money, man, you and I could get another team, get some expansion. You got $10 million in your pocket, 15 million
If I
bucks?
Did, we would be doing it because, We're definitely looking forward to some expansion because there's just so much talent out there that, it, you know, there's going to be people that don't make rosters that, you know, could fill up another team.
Yeah. Well, I sure do appreciate everything that you do and how hard you work on our behalf on Nothing But Net to help us put the word out there. We've had some great guests, and I can't wait to keep going. I mean, you want to keep going all summer, right? I mean, we'll just keep it rolling.
Let's put it out there. Let's put it out there for all the listeners. Who has been emailing you almost daily since the tournament? And I knew I wasn't going to get a response every time because I know you needed your time to breathe because you've been gone for an entire month. But yes, I've been coming up with all kinds of ideas.
You know what? There's no day off. Like, right now, just so our listeners know, I mean, 24 hours, Nothing But Net is right around the corner. And I'm just going to mention this right now, and we'll talk about it later. But I'm training like crazy, and I'm getting ready to head into two-a-days now. So I will make 2,400 free throws for Special Olympics in a 24-hour free throw shooting marathon, May 15 and 16. This will be my third year. I'm going to be in my driveway again. If you can help us raise money for Special Olympics, it's 24HoursNBN.com. The number 24HoursNBN.com. NBN stands for Nothing But Net. We have raised over $210,000 in 2 years. That's a lot of money for Special Olympics, especially the second year in a pandemic. And we're still in a pandemic. We still need the money for programming, but some of the programs are starting to come back now for Special Olympic athletes in South Carolina. So that's a good thing. So we'll have a couple of podcasts around that because we really need to promote that. And if everyone listening gave me a penny for every free throw I make, it's just $24.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone can do that. And we've had some WNBA players on our live stream. It's a 24-hour live stream.
I understand. I know it's 24-hour live stream on YouTube for everyone listening that hasn't seen it before. And I know it's the opening weekend of WNBA season. I have to ask, will Frankie be getting a rematch in horse?
You know, Allie Quigley and Courtney Vandersloot are such first-class people. They have already committed to the rematch. And on May 15th, they are playing on the road at Washington. And they have already told me that they will figure out when they can play a rematch game of pig against Frankie. It will either be before the game, before shoot around, or after shoot around, but they're going to figure it out. And if we don't get to do it live, we will tape it. But either way, Frankie ran his mouth and he's getting a rematch. He better be practicing.
That is going to be worth the price of admission right there alone. I know I enjoyed the entire game last year.
And Elena Deladon, obviously, you know, she came on with us last year too, and we'll be trying to get her back because she has a special place in her heart for Special Olympics. And she's, you know, with her sister Lizzie and their relationship, and she understands what Special Olympics means. So, yeah, I mean, I fully expect the WNBA to have representation on the live stream.
This is going to be a great weekend for basketball with your marathon and the WNBA kicking off.
Yeah, we might have some, have to see what we can get in arena at some WNBA places. Maybe we can get some special reports sent to us for the live stream. You know, a post-game report from a player, or I have to work on some ideas. If anybody has any ideas that's listening, or if you're in the WNBA and you're listening and you want to come on the live stream, we got 24 hours of programming. I'll shoot on the top of every hour, but we got some big plans again this year, and we'll have a lot of celebrities and actors and a lot of sports celebrities, including, I think there'll be an appearance from BMAC. I have a feeling you're going to be a part of it too.
Of course. As soon as you sent me that, asking me if I would, I couldn't wait. I'm going to be watching all 24 hours anyway. I might as well be a part.
You... You might be asking for more than you realize, buddy. Well, this was just you and me chatting it up for the WNBA draft. Thank you, BMAC, for waiting till the draft was over so that we could get this done and you could post this so some fans can listen in.
Yes, thank you all to the listeners. And I know a lot of you have been doing it, and I hope you guys continue to send in your questions and your comments to Ask Antonelli@gmail.com.